tell where things are going to land, but there are a number of features that provide a really good framework. There's a good way of prioritizing how the revenues are spent. There is a recognition of the low-income burden as part of it. There's transparency and accountability built in to an oversight committee. So all of those things are important. The caution part is really consistent with some of the comments made about time and your own action about delaying the time for adequate participation. Council President Hughes said, please take the time to do this successfully. If you're not successful, then there's a big hole in the region's attempt to meet the maintenance needs of the entire region through local efforts. I would like to point out that Metro is an owner of major regional facilities. We're going to have to pay this bill, too, for the convention center, the expo center, other facilities, even parks that we operate. And those directors are having the same kinds of reactions. I don't understand it. What is my fee going to be? Is there an ability to make sure that these national rates are actually appropriate for our experience and our use? I have confidence that your system will provide for that sort of custom calculation where national rates don't make sense, but you've got built in the ability to account for the specific activity in question, and that there's time to work out those kind of details. But they're definitely reeling with the kind of cost impact that this represents. And they're concerned that perhaps there be the kind of phase-in that has been suggested on the residential side, on the commercial, non-residential side as well. In fact, Expo in particular is still trying to swallow a drainage fee in the North Drainage District, and that's been phased in at 25% per year to allow them to sort of absorb that over time. And I think the 6, 9, 12 sort of pattern on the non-residential side would accomplish that as well. It would also be helpful, frankly, to just understand a more complete picture. What are all the fees that are going to be hit them in the future? Is there a way to sort of tell a more complete story about sewer fees, water fees, transportation fees, whatever other fees might be coming so that they can anticipate that and budget that into the future? I also provided a little map with the testimony that shows who else has done what in this region, and there's quite a bit that's been done, and so that puts
you
following suit with the rest of the region. The four of the seven members of the Metro Council have done this very thing in their previous life as the city councilor or mayor of Hillsborough and Tigard and Milwaukee and Gresham, and they all did it with lots of hand-holding. That's what this extra time is all about, lots of hand-holding, so that people understand it, and by the time they understand it, in a lot of cases, support it.
Thank you.
Can I just ask, what's the back of the envelope cost that you estimate Metro would incur under the current assumptions?
Your staff has provided us with some preliminary calculations, and we don't have it for one of our facilities, the North Transfer Station, the garbage transfer station up
in
North
Portland. You say my staff, you mean Peabot staff?
Sorry, Peabot staff. I think of it as your staff.
It is his staff, too.
Well, it is, but I'm just curious, what's the rough figure?
$150,000 a year for everything minus one facility that we don't know the numbers yet.
Okay. Thank you very much. Appreciate it.
Okay. Mayor Hales, members of City Council, thank you for the opportunity to speak with you today. I'm Rob Sadowski, Executive Director of the Bicycle Transportation Alliance. The BTA supports raising new revenue to fund basic maintenance and safety of our transportation system. We think it's appropriate for everyone to make contributions towards the maintenance and safety of the streets we need to get around. Portlanders are following the national trend of relying on our cars less, but we still rely on a declining source of revenue that only captures value from automobile trips with the gas tax. We agree that treating transportation funding like we treat other city utilities makes more sense in the long term. The street fee is also a layered solution that complements the existing gas tax. I'd like to share some resolvable concerns with the current proposal that we'd like to see changed before we arrive at our final position on the issue. It's imperative that the city works to reduce the burden on our lowest income Portlanders with a steep discount for low income households to ensure that they do not bear a disproportional impact from the costs. The BTA strongly believes that no family should have to choose between paying for safe streets and paying to feed their family. We trust that our friends in the affordable housing sector can work with the city to help resolve these conflicts. Additionally, we would like to see the fee used in a way that encourages motor vehicle trip reductions. Let me share two examples. Every morning when I come to work, I ride by Beach Elementary School, and I see scores of parents bringing their kids to school by foot and on bikes. And whenever I stop by Hopworks in the evening, the steps they've taken to encourage their customers to arrive by bike impress me. The BTA would like to encourage the city to grant discounts or waiver of the fee to groups who make an active investment in reducing their and their customers' maintenance burdens on our roads. Safe and well-maintained streets are worth paying for. We applaud the city councilors and especially Mayor Hales and Commissioner Novick for taking on this tough issue. As everyone in the U.S., from the federal government to the state of Oregon to our local communities, grapple with declining revenue for transportation and increasing maintenance costs, it's refreshing to see the city of Portland step up with a proactive solution. Thank you.
Thank you. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon. Mayor Hales, commissioners, my name is Aaron Brown, and I'm the board president of Oregon Walks. I'm going to tell a quick story as to why I'm here and believe that this is the right thing to do. In 2012, I sat on the network policy expert group, and we were looking over the city comprehensive plan, had some really fascinating, interesting conversations about what our city was going to look like in 20 to 30, 40 years, really enjoyed my mornings there. And then I went to my day job, which was out at David Douglas High School, working with a bunch of Sun students. Put into stark relief where we have these values about what Portland's transportation system looks like and sort of what we want it to be, and then actually going out and asking 15 high school students to cross Stark at 135th before that crosswalk was put in. I had 13, 15 Somali students in full burqa and hijab and heels running across felt like a state highway. Really put into stark relief the importance of investing now in what safety looks like to make sure that Portland residents, regardless of what neighborhood they lived in, felt that they had safe streets to live in and straight safe neighborhoods. Our transportation system is currently way out of line with Portland's values. Based on this premise and just my own personal experience, Steph Ralph spoke to it earlier, but attending vigils for hit pedestrians, I just can't help but think that it is time for us to find the political motivation and courage to invest in safety in our streets. In light of the two pedestrian fatalities that happened on Valentine's Day weekend this year, my organization got over 730 people that signed a petition asking the city to prioritize pedestrian safety and street safety around the notion of Vision Zero. This funding is crucial. Our organization has totally signed on and totally supports everything that Opal and John Oster and a lot of the equity advocates, making sure that we're looking at mitigation for low-income housing, making sure that there's significant equity oversight, considering a sunset clause to allow us to review a more progressive measurement maybe in the next 5 to 10 years. And we are really interested in making sure that 50% of this funding comes from businesses, and at least 50% is going to come to safety. If we're going to lower it to $6 a month, it is absolutely crucial that we continue to push on the safety. In short, I know this is a difficult vote, but it's even more difficult to cross 135th and Stark. It's even more difficult to find something to say at these pedestrian vigils, and it's even more difficult to even imagine what it means to lose a loved one. So I encourage you to use this opportunity in your leadership to make sure that we are investing in safe streets. Thank you for your time.
Thank you. Thanks very much. Well, next three, please.
Next are Malcolm Chaddock, Gary Hervek, on Lombard, pardon me if I've mispronounced your name, Alan Schaffer, and they'll be followed by Craig Beebe, Chris Smith, and Lee Layton.
Go ahead, while others are coming up.
Afternoon, Council. My name's Malcolm Chaddock. I've spoken to you before on a couple of things. I think that what I've heard today seems like people have defined the problems pretty well. There's been what looks to be quite a bit of effort given to defining the financial structure of the problems and the percentages of this and that. And I think you've probably done your homework there. What I have a problem with is that this process is not complete or does not seem complete to me. That we have an issue here that supposedly is going to be voted on today or may or may not be.
No, not today.
Okay, well, okay. That we have an issue here that's going to be voted on separately from another issue that's an integral part of the problem. And it just doesn't work for me. I can't see how you're going to get into a car without all the wheels on. How are you going to drive it if it's not all the way hooked up? And what are you going to hit if you don't have control? That's all I had to say. Oh,
thank you. Thanks very much. Okay. You called some other names, but...
Okay. Craig Beebe, Chris Smith, and Lee Layton.
Okay. Craig's here. Same.
And they'll be followed by Angie Even, Dennis Farron, and James Cust.
Go ahead, Lee, while he's getting set up. We'll have to do it in order.
Okay, thank you. Mayor and Council, I'm Lee Layton. My wife, Chris Gauger, and I moved here in 1990. We live in Selwood, Moreland, and Chris owns and operates Here We Go Again, Inc., which has two retail locations in neighborhood storefront locations in Portland. I can speak for both of us to say we really support your effort to address this problem. It needs attention, it takes courage and tenacity, and I endorse the effort to address it. That said, I also support representative democracy, and I like this council. I think it's one of the best councils we've had since I moved here, quite frankly. I don't want to have to participate in campaigns to defend a rear guard action against recalls and so forth. I'd like to see this effort achieve the broad political legitimacy to stand once it's adopted, whether you do that as council action or whether it's done by referral to the popular voters. Doesn't matter to me, but I want it to have the legitimacy to not have to fight a contest so we can implement the thing and get on with it, because that's what we need to do. I'd like to, with respect to Here We Go Again, our two storefront locations give us some perspective on the travel behavior of our customers. I'd like to talk about that just a little bit. The Portland Business Alliance comments, I want to endorse those. They really hit some of the unique aspects of Portland businesses at a small scale, how they operate in these Main Street business districts. It's dramatically different from larger stores and shopping malls. And the ITE manual data falls into a Murphy's Law trap. There's a corollary that says that the data we have to deal with the current problem were collected to deal with the previous problem. Those trip generation data are based on historical examples that are not a good fit for Portland. Those trip generation rates are based on auto-oriented locations that typically have their own parking lots and stuff, and people's travel behavior and decisions are affected by the destinations they're visiting. 20 pedestrian trips does not have the same wear and tear on the road system as 20 vehicle trips. It's never going to. And right now, the only adjustment that's available is one that's available through an appeal process. Metro Council, at their scale, can afford that. A business like ours, that's completely unapproachable. The cost of collecting the data and paying the consultants to even make the argument, frankly, probably exceeds the difference we could hope to make, if not the tax itself, over a three-year period. It's simply burdensome for small operators who generate a lot of the employment in Portland. And I'm glad to hear you wanting to take more time. We'll be happy to participate in the discussion around how to make that work better for Portland.
Thank you. Thanks very much.
Lee, why don't you tell us what kind of businesses Here We Go Again?
Here We Go Again they're consignment boutiques for women's clothing. And so somebody mentioned the business owner earlier on Foster Road talked about how his customers and UPS trucks can get to him better. Well, the supply lines for our businesses are women coming in with hangers of clothes, that they're carrying in. And we get a lot of walk-by traffic and so forth. So we don't consider ourselves heavy road users.
Thank you. Thanks very much.
Okay. Good afternoon, Mayor Hales and Commissioners. My name is Craig Beebe. I'm a Southeast Portland resident, and today I'm representing the City Club of Portland. I'm the chair of the City Club's Bicycle Transportation Advocacy Committee. As you know, last year, the City Club of Portland overwhelmingly approved No Turning Back, a research report that endorses the integral role of bicycles in the city's transportation system. I'm pleased to share these comments on the transportation user fee proposal as it relates to the club's adopted recommendations, and I'm also providing some more detailed comments in writing. City Club recognizes that a shortfall in funding is a key barrier to building and maintaining the safe, comfortable, and convenient bicycle network that Portland needs. At this time, however, City Club neither endorses nor opposes the proposed fee in full, because a full analysis of that option was beyond the scope of the bicycle report, and the club has not had adequate time to study, debate, and vote on the current proposal. We note, however, that three key recommendations from the bicycle report particularly pertain to this proposal. First, City Club's report states that should such a fee be adopted, bicycle infrastructure be given, quote, a specific allocation commensurate with the city's stated goals for bicycle ridership, end quote. As presented by PBOT, the transportation user fee before you contains a 44% allocation for safety projects, which would include bicycle projects. This prospect aligns with the spirit of the City Club's recommendation. We are interested, however, to know the estimated amount that will be dedicated to each mode of transportation, including bicycles. Second, the club's report called for PBOT to improve community outreach. PBOT has undertaken outreach in developing this proposal through the advisory committee in which I served, polls, and the town hall meetings, which you've heard about today. As a result of that, PBOT has made changes to the proposal, that including a better allocation for safety and stronger oversight components, and we're pleased to see that. City Club does share concerns expressed by some that the specific proposal is being hurried, and such as some crucial elements like fee collection remaining unspecified that we would like to see, you know, be furthered. Finally, the club's report calls for the city to be more strategic in planning and funding bicycle projects. To do so, strong oversight is crucial, and the proposed oversight committee should have considerable independence from PBOT and City Council. And you know, we're pleased to see that, and we hope that it will continue to have that independence. Again, emphasize that City Club is neutral on the transportation user fee itself at the moment, but the current proposal aligns with City Club's recommendations on several points, including financial support for bicycling, outreach, and strategic transportation planning. We would, however, like to see greater specificity about funding allocations, implementation, and oversight. Thank you for the opportunity to comment.
Thank you. Thanks for serving on the committee as well.
Chris Smith. I'm a member of the Planning and Sustainability Commission. I was also a member of the 2007-2008 Safe, Sound, and Green Streets Committee, so I'm well acquainted with the need, and I applaud Commissioner Novick and Mayor Hales for their courage in calling the question on this. Chair Baugh will be up here in a few minutes, and we'll talk about the general alignment with Portland Plan objectives, but I want to call out one specific Portland Plan connection where the plan observes that, you know, our strategy in the city is to reduce the amount of driving, both for our climate objectives and for the livability of our neighborhoods and the general health of the city. So we are strategically removing our funding source to maintain the transportation system. And the plan says we need to change that, or we're on the road to doom. So the plan calls for a new funding source by 2016. So the good news is you're still on schedule, but let's not pause too long. I want to make a couple other observations. I would add my voice to those saying that we should continue to work on the regressive nature of this. So if you can find another tier of discounts or exemptions for the very lowest income Portlanders, I think that's very important. To the discussion that we've heard here today about, at some point does this go away, or are there triggers where we would repeal this, throw a little cold water, I want to point out that in the best scenario, this revenue source is only going to produce about half of the need. You know, we know that the gap for maintenance is, you know, $90 million a year. The safety investments that the community has told us they'd like us to make are even more. This is only going to get us part way. We're going to continue to have this conversation, even if we succeed in this particular piece. So, thank you.
Thank you.
Mr. Smith, may I paint an even bleaker picture? The $91 million a year for maintenance was purely for the pavement. Mm-hmm. Does it include maintenance of the bridges, of the streetlights, of the signals?
Thank you very much. Thanks, all three.
Thank you.
Okay, let's take three more.
Next, we have Angie Even, Dennis Farron, James Cust. They'll be followed by Erwin Mandel, Lily Mandel, and Andre Baugh.
I would estimate we've probably got 30 or 40 left based on the number of people in the room we haven't heard from, so maybe more than that. Okay.
Any of that group?
Sorry, you called multiple names?
Yes. Angie Even, Dennis Farron, and James.
A lot of people have had to leave.
Okay.
Why don't we keep going?
Okay.
Keep
going. Bernard Parks, Per Fagerin.
There's Per. Yeah. There he is.
Did you skip over the Mandels?
Well, they can. Let's call them up together after these two.
Okay.
Why don't you hold for a moment, Mr. and Mrs. Mandel? We'll hear from these two, and then we'll call you up, and then we might take a break for 5 minutes. Go ahead.
Hello, my name is Angie Even, and I'm here today representing myself as a resident of Oregon, and also someone that was born in Portland in 1959, in the Park Rose area. In addition to that, I am a community business leader, business owner, and a property owner with rentals. So today I decided to testify because I'm just very gravely concerned about the street fee that's being proposed. I don't want to talk about how we got here, but I'd rather talk about where we're going. I really want to talk about how this is going to burden families and close small business doors and cripple our economy and growth. But I don't feel that there's time for that today because I think what I need to talk about is the process and why this is going to harm our city. I also agree with the people who have testified today that we all are responsible for everything that happens in Portland. And I believe most Portlanders have that same sentiment. But there's a few things that bother me about what I've heard in the media and what I've seen in emails. One is that we're doing this just like Oregon City. Well, I called Oregon City, and I talked to the City Office of Public Works. And the question and answer person for Oregon City spent an hour and a half on the phone with me. What she's told me is that Portland's plan is not like Oregon City, although it's been quoted that it is like Oregon City. It's a 70-30 plan, 70% paid by residents and 30% by businesses. And the reason why they can do that is because it's a curb-to-curb street fee plan. They're just fixing roads. They're just maintaining roads. They're just making roads safer. With that, the calculations are skewed for Portland compared to Oregon City in that the Oregon City Safeway is paying $275 a month for their street fee. A Portland Safeway will pay $1,800 a month. In Oregon City, McDonald's is paying $67 a month. McDonald's is paying $67 a month. In Portland, McDonald's will pay an average of $1,500 a month. For schools, they're charging by the number of students in each school. So a grade school that has 500 children in it pays $75 a month. So there's something wrong with the math. We know that the residents, you can see that by looking at how many households there are. But just looking at the fee calculator and calculating that Portland Public Schools pay this and pay that, do you have the number for what the other side of this fee is going to generate? Because if you look at Oregon City's numbers, they're far less than what the numbers of the City of Portland is proposing for businesses. I think the second thing I want to talk about, and I have the email from the auditor of the City of Portland, that the auditor's report states from 2013 that revenue keeps going up, and that it's projected to go up until 2017 in their current report. I have the email, and I think another gentleman actually had the report in his hand. What the email states is that, in an audit report we reported that transportation revenues are up and that the city expects them to continue to go up through the forecast fiscal year of 2016-17, and this includes both the gas revenues and the parking revenues going up. He also states in the report that we found that spending maintenance is down, even though revenues are up. And I can leave this. This is an email.
All right, thank you. I need you to wrap up soon.
Okay, I will. I'm going to talk about being a landlord. With this proposal, what I'm seeing is that I'm going to be put in the position to be a fee collector. If I'm a fee collector or tax collector, I trust myself to be prudent if I had to do that, which I probably will sell my properties because I don't want to do that. But what I want to ask you is, will landlords become punitive? Will there be clauses written into lease agreements that say that the street fee is part of their obligation as renting the property? And if they're not able to or don't pay the street fee, can a landlord then evict a resident or a business because they're not able to make the payment? And then I guess since I'm getting wrapped up, the last thing I will say is that we're smart. Portland's smart. You know, you're smart, we're smart. We should be able to work together and find a solution. This went way too fast. Half of it getting passed, and the other one coming up to speed, pitching businesses and residents together. That's not the Portland I was born into in 1959, and that's not the Portland I would want to live in now. Thank you.
Thanks very much. Good afternoon.
Ma'am, I'd like to just quickly address the gas tax revenue increases. Mm-hmm. In fiscal year 2011-12, we got $55.910 million in gas tax revenues. This year, it's projected that we'll get a total of $57 million in gas tax revenues, so it's a little over $1 million increase. The auditor has said that we would need to spend an extra $75 million a year over 10 years to address our maintenance needs.
Mm-hmm. Well, I guess what I'm saying is that in the media and in the emails, the snapshots that are being given to the public are not full disclosure.
Okay, we'll try to get all the numbers out. Thank you. Good afternoon, Per.
Yeah, my name is Per Fogring, and I live in Southeast Portland. I am retired. I live on a moderately low income. I'm the only person in my household. And I got a 13-year-old car with less than 70,000 miles on it. And a big chunk of that was driving to the Pine Ridge Reservation a few years ago. But I would be paying the same fee as a millionaire with three teenagers and five cars. That just seems terribly wrong to me. Now, I might get a 30% discount, but that doesn't really mitigate the wrongness of this thing very much. It's just this kind of tax is really uncalled for. So that's my main point. I would just say that welcome to the world of the imperial war economy, because that's what we're dealing with. We're living in a world of diminishing resources, and I think we need a real long conversation about this and a whole lot of other things. Thank you.
Thank you. Thanks very much.
Next, please come up, Erwin Mandel, Lily Mandel, and Andre Ball.
Good afternoon.
Good afternoon. Evening. I've almost forgotten who I am.
Well, we haven't.
I have.
Better not have an identity crisis.
Not here. I'll wait till I get home. Lily Mandel. Please don't hit anybody. Lily Mandel, downtown resident. A resident who cares about all our roads and all our residents, not only my roads in my neighborhood. I care about all of us. And I am tired of hearing the idea there. You know, the road you take is the road you've chosen, and you were well-intentioned, is the wrong road. Why don't we take the right road? And I didn't know where I was going until I sat here and figured it out. You know, you talk about, they're doing it this way, they're doing it that way, and why don't we do it that way? You know what? Why don't we do it the old commission form of government way, the way we've always done it before, you can't just take a shortcut road and get there. You can't do that. You do it the old democratic way, where we all get up and speak our mind, no matter who you are, poor, rich, or infirm. And that's the only way. Start all over. Forget this. I've heard statistics up to the kazoo. And you know what? You know what they mean to me right now? Absolutely nothing. Throw them out. Go and use your Portland brain. You don't have to have it go down the drain with all this modern, oh, we've got such wonderful ways to present it now. No, let's go back to the way it's been before. It's worked. And you see, I've noticed something else. You are going in, we haven't touched upon this, we haven't touched upon that. That's true, because you're trying to rush it. You can't do that. You've got to listen to everyone, and everybody's opinion counts. I don't care who they are. And so let's start all over and go the right road. Thank you.
Ms. Vandell, I just want to state for the record that no kazoos were harmed in the production of these statistics.
What did you say?
That no kazoos were harmed in the production of these statistics.
I'm not sure about that. Neither can you be.
Nice having you back
here. I've been an old dame. I've been around, baby.
I think I know her.
Thank you.
Erwin Mandel, downtown resident, and she lets me accompany her once in a while. Just coincidentally, this month marks 21 years since I retired and we moved to Portland. It took a year or so of living here before we caught on to the fact, my God, this government listens to the citizens. And Charlie, you had brown hair then. I'll testify to that. And when is it? Let's hope it never does stop listening. The other issue is, Commissioner Novick, you're right. You got people pissed off with what you said in the paper. I was one of them. Pick up the Oregonian, and I see Steve Novick in there saying, well, if we can't do it this way, I'm just going to bring it to City Council and run it through. Wow. What nerve. What?
Chutzpah.
Yeah. Chutzpah as a word.
It's audacity.
To use. Audacity to think that one commissioner can just ram things through over the heads of the people. This issue is highly complex. But come on, the citizens of Portland are not idiots. They can read and make sense out of what's there. You've got to put this to a vote. It is the citizens of Portland who have to decide what they're going to pay for, how they're going to pay it, and when they're going to pay it. Dan Saltzman, of course, we go back a long way. Absolutely, there has to be a vote on it. This council does not have the authority to put this type of thing through on its own. I don't think so. Okay, time's up.
Thank you both. Thanks. Yeah, let's hear Andre, and then we'll take a break.
Okay. Mayor, Council, Andre Baugh, Chair of the Planning Sustainability Commission, and I'm here today. Usually you hear me talking about big plans and things we have coming forward, but today I'm here to encourage action. As Chair of the Planning Sustainability Commission, we've heard from citizens in developing the Portland Plan and continue to hear for the need for safer streets, additional sidewalks, and increased active transportation choices. We've heard the dissatisfaction with transportation, especially from East Portland. The transportation user fee addresses this dissatisfaction. The transportation user fee supports the Portland Plan 12 success measures by which we will measure the city for the next 25 years. Directly, the fee supports, in my view, the following success measures. It provides a key component to a complete neighborhood. Healthier citizens through increased sidewalks, increasing active transportation choices for our citizens, and offers the opportunity to increase prosperity of households, especially to low income, because they can get better transportation choices that are cheaper than driving a single car to their jobs. It provides for a safer city. It increases the opportunity to reduce carbon emissions and improves citizen satisfaction in addressing a significant concern. The fee will improve transportation mobility for businesses, offering greater growth opportunities for those businesses within our city. And lastly, it advances our commitment to equity and inclusion in this investment in our city. Like football, teams that win have self-discipline. The transportation fee is self-discipline, fixing our streets and sidewalks, thereby providing our citizens changes better chances for success. So I support the transportation user fee and our city's future success. Thank you.
Thank you. Thanks for your volunteer service as well. Okay, let's take a 5-minute break and then return to the sign-up list.
Thank you very much. Thank you very much. And I hope you run for mayor because I'll get all my groups. That's not bad.
Yeah, I know. You're right. I mean, but you're being rational. Yeah, but I mean, for Lily and Erwin, it's like, what do you mean? You want 30% of the public to decide this?
Have you figured out how many people walked out because the main time you talked to people?
No, I don't. But okay,
did you read what he wrote?
Yeah.
He went to the. I'm going to say it to you before I come in. He went to those group meetings.
I did too.
Okay. The one on Woodstock, he says, money cannot be taken out of school. If he gave that information, with the difference would be. He did not mention to us that he was going to tax churches. Would not change the percentage for it and against it. We felt this lied to. He says, we don't want it taken out of schools. Now you say it's going to.
Yeah, so, I don't know what he said because that's the one meeting I didn't go to.
Okay.
The Woodstock meeting was one of
his. Yes, that's what he said about it.
Okay. Yes, Jim was speaking.
He said, I will not take money out of school. Okay. He did not mention to us that it was going to take the church for. That was mentioned. How about that change percentage? I said, okay, you have a budget at home. Okay, just say you're buying food or going to the movie. The city has a big budget. Okay. You have to take all the money and work as a team. Here's $50 million spent. Why can't this be? $70 after the $5 and someone has $7 income.